So we're continuing with Igeot Hashmad, and as we said, we're dedicating our learning to Sarah Chaya Badani HaKohen. We're holding page Mem Hei in the Rav Shilat edition, and we're on the 10th line. V'imela HaKofrim Gimalam Hashem Gimul Al Me'at Mizar Mimaseh HaTov. And if all these people that we enumerated, who all denied God's existence, Nebuchadnezzar blasphemed in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, he said, I killed him. Esav, we know he denied God's existence. Achav, he served idols, he denied God's existence. If all these people who willfully sinned, yet when they did something minuscule that was good, God paid them back for the good that they did. Yisrael, the Jewish people, shene'insu me'onis hashmad, that they were forced. They were forced by this decree that they're going to kill them if they don't admit. Ve'osim baseter mitzvot, and in hiding they do perform mitzvot. Ech lo yigmelem Hashem al kach, how could it be that God won't pay them back for what they're doing, for the good mitzvot that they're doing in hiding? Ve'lo yeh efresh etzlo benoseh mitzvah v'nein osek, could it be that there's no difference before God between he who performs mitzvot and he who does not? Ben oved Elokim la'asher lo avado, between he who serves God and he who does not? V'chol sheken shelo yireh midivrei ze ha'ish, ela kshehitpalel yaseh avera. And certainly, you don't see that from what this guy wrote, because he said when they pray, they're sinning. Kach katav, this is what he wrote. Kishtayim ra'ot asami, my nation has done two sins. Uchvar nitbel chataoto, the Rambam says, and you've already understood that this guy who wrote this letter is an error. V'shulosau tamid miyot migane anshe amenu, and that he's just always busy degrading people of our nation. Ad she'avar ze ledaber b'chok ha'chachamim k'mo she'be'anu, till he reached a point that he even speaks about our sages improperly. Veloze bilvad, and not this alone, ela af bechok ha'elitala, he even derides God's statutes. V'amar shu ya'anish al maaseh ha'mitzvot, and he dare say that God will punish people for performance of mitzvot. V'cho diber shetfilat echad mehem averai, and this is what he dared say, that one of these people who were under duress declared that Muhammad is true. He said that if one of them prays, it's a sin. Val kmoze amar Shlomo alav shalom. And on things like this, King Solomon said, Val tomar lifnei hamalach shegagahi. Don't declare before the angel, oh, I made a mistake. Be quiet, King Solomon said. Better don't talk. Because if you talk, don't think that afterwards you'll be able to tell the angels, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You shouldn't have spoken, King Solomon said. And now we turn the page, we're on page Mem Vav, Hayot Gimel. וכאשר ראיתי הדבר הזה, and when I saw this, as the Rambam, המחלי הגוף והעיניים, something that makes one sick in the body and the eyes, שמתי ידי לקבץ סמים ובסמים ראש מספרי הקדמונים, I decided that I will gather the different perfumes, the different cures, so to speak, from the works of our predecessors. אסמם סמוי למחלה ההיא, I'll make a cure to cure this illness. He's calling what this guy did an illness. He said, I'll cure it, sheterafebo, that you'll be cured with this. Briti lechalek ze ha'inyan lechamisha minim. And I decided I'll divide it, so to speak, into five different types of things that I will deal with. They're really five chapters, but as you see, they're very, very short chapters. Hamin ha'rishon, the first section, the first type, b'chalukat ha'mitzvot be'et ha'ones. I'll divide the mitzvot in accordance with how they are performed at a time under duress. Hamina sheni, the second type, bigvul chilul Hashem onsho, enumerating the boundaries of chilul Hashem and its punishment. Hamina shlishi, the third type, b'madrigat ha'neragim al kedushat Hashem, about the elevated stature of those who get killed over the sanctity of God's name, v'anusim bonis hashmad, and those that are forced under duress of shmad. Hamina uvi, the fourth, v'inyan ze hashmad miklal hashmadot, to discuss this shmad specifically among all the different decrees we've had against us, u'ma sheroi la'adam nasot bo, and what a person should really do in this situation. Hamina chamishi, the fifth thing we will discuss, deviyur echiyot la'adam sheishamer min hashmad Hashem yavdilenu, explaining how a person should protect himself from the situation of shmad. Hashem should separate us. So now Hashem should distance us from this problem, and now the Rambam is going to explain these 5 points. Hamin ha'rishon b'chiluk ha'mitzvot b'et ha'ones. The first point, we'll discuss the division of mitzvos under duress. Yesh bo shlosha chalakim. We really have to divide this into three sections. Ma'mitzvot, Then Avodah Zarah v'Gilui Ariyot u'Shfichut Damin. Among the mitzvahs, first we have the concept of Avodah Zarah, idol worship, Gilui Arayos, the prohibited relations, and murder. Hadin Bahen, with regard to these three mitzvot, the law dictates, Shekol Zman Shianes Adam Anachatmin, when a person is under duress, and they're forcing him, you must murder someone, otherwise we'll kill you. Mitzuveh Shiarek V'al Yavo. The Torah tells us about these three mitzvot, a person should rather get killed than transgress. V'chol Makom, u'v'chol Zman, v'al eze inyan sheyeh. Any place, any time, and in any situation that it happens. And the Rambam will explain, Omnam, Omri, I'll get to you in 1 second, Yechezkel. What I mean to say, what? Oh, okay. Omri, but what I mean to say, Bechol Makom, in any place, Ritzoneinu bo b'mitzina ben v'faresia. What I mean to say is, irrespective of whether it is done in privacy or overtly, one has to be willing to give up one's life rather than kill someone else. And we will see that with regard to other mitzvot, there's a difference whether it is done privately or not. So with regard to these three, the Rambam says, it doesn't matter if it's privately or not. One has to be willing to give up one's life rather than have prohibited relations, and the Gilui Arayot is specific prohibited relations, rather than murdering and rather than serving idol worship. V'omri b'chol zman, and what I mean to say any time, Ritzoneinu bo, what I mean to say is, ben mishat hashmad, ben shelo b'shat hashmad. Irrespective of whether it's a time that they're trying to get you to renege on all of Judaism, or it's just this specific point, they want you just to kill someone, doesn't matter. And what I mean to say, regardless what the point is, whether the person's intent is to get you to transgress or not, doesn't matter, any of these points don't matter. Bottom line, a person has to rather get killed than transgress these any one of these three. Ushal kol ha-mitzvot, and now all other mitzvot, kulan milvad ele ha-shalot, all mitzvot other than these three, all mitzvot other than avodah zarah, gilui arayos, or shvichus damim, im anaso anas, if someone comes to force him, someone puts a gun to his head and says, desecrate Shabbos now. So yabit, he has to take note. Im lanat atzmo nitkaven, if the person just means to enjoy himself. A guy walks over to a Jew and says, now you drive me over to Eilat. Puts a gun to his head and gives him the keys and says, you're driving me to Eilat. So his whole purpose seems to be for his own benefit. So then the rule is, yavog val yareg. A person should transgress, do what you have to do, but don't get killed. Ben b'shat hashmad, ben shelo b'shmat hashmad. Doesn't matter if it's during a time of shmad, when they're trying to get the Jews to stop keeping mitzvot or not. Right now, he means to enjoy himself. Ben baseto, ben b'faresia. Even if he's doing it publicly, he comes to the rabbi in the middle of shul, and he tells him, you're driving me to Eilat now. Puts a gun to his head. Now everyone sees it. So he might say, well, everyone's seeing the rabbi drive on Shabbos. Doesn't matter. Everyone knows this guy wants a ride to Eilat. That's why he's doing it. And I'll prove it, says the Rambam. Our sages said, Esther was a married woman. She was taken by Achashverosh. And everyone knew it. All the Jews knew she was a married woman. So the Gemara asks, Esther was public. Everyone knew that here Achashverosh was living with a married woman. All the Jewish people knew it. And the Gemara answers, Esther kaka olam haita. Esther didn't do anything. So the Gemara's first answer is, Esther just lay there. Esther was inactive. She wasn't sinning. So she doesn't have to give up her life when the sin is being done and she doesn't do anything. Rava amar. Rava says a different answer. Hana'at atzmo shane. When a person's doing a sin for his own pleasure, so then it's a different rule. Then we say, even though it's public, one doesn't have to give up one's life for it. V'az de Rava letame, and Rava's going according to Rava's reasoning, de'ama Rava, haigo, etc. As Rava says, that if a non-Jew wants a Jew to sin, but his whole purpose is for his own pleasure, so then we say, kaimanan alacha ke Rava, the halacha is like Rava, says the Rambam, and then, so long as the guy's whole intent is for his own pleasure, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to give up our lives so as not to perform one of the other sins. Im ken, if so, says the Rambam. In any tver lecha, it's been clarified, shekol zman sheitkaven lanat atzmo, whenever the non-Jew's intent is just for his own pleasure, yavor val yareg afilu b'faresia v'shat hashmad. Whenever his intent is for his own joy, one should transgress and not give up one's life, even if it's public, even if it's a time of shmad. Ve'im nitkaven lehaviro, but what happens if the guy's whole intent is, I'm going to make a Jew sin? A guy walks in and says, you Jew, light that fire now. It's either the Jew says Shabbos, he says, well, I'm going to blow your brains out. Either you light the fire or not. And the Jew says, but you don't need it. What difference does it make? He says, no, I know it's Shabbos and I want you to light that fire. So then you see his whole purpose is to get the guy to sin. Yabit. So then you have to take note, kumochen also. This is what you have to note. Imaita eta ishat hashmad. If it's a time of shmad, it's the time that the Greeks have decreed you're not allowed to believe in one God. You have to, every Jew has to inscribe in the horn of their ox that they have no portion in the God of Israel. Every Jew has to remove a door off their doorpost. And no Jew may circumcise their son. So the Greeks are trying to get us to stop performing mitzvot. So then a Greek guy walks in and says on Shabbos, turn on that light. He derives no benefit of it. And nonetheless, he wants us to sin. Why? Because they want us to renege on our faith. They want us to stop observing Judaism. So then our sages said, Yahog Gval Yavo. Then one must give up one's life and not sin, ben betzina, ben befarese, even if it's in private. So if his whole purpose is to get us to sin, and it's a time of shmad, it's a time that they're trying to get us to stop keeping Judaism, so then we have to give up our lives even for the smallest mitzvah. The im shelo bishat shmad, and let's say it's not a time of shmad. A guy walks in tomorrow. It's not shmad. V'haya baseter, and it's in private, but he's not going to gain anything from it. A guy is sitting in prison in Jordan, and the guard walks up to him and says, I want you to light my lighter. So the Jew says, you need me to light your cigarette? He thinks, if I light a cigarette, it's for his benefit. So then he's not trying to get me to sin. So he says, no, I just want you to light my lighter on Shabbos. And the Jew's sitting there, and it's not the time of Shmad. So then the rule is like this. If it's Hayaba Seter, it was in hiding, there's just one Jew in that prison in Jordan, and the guard is there, and he knows he can beat the living daylights out of him, he might not walk out alive. So then Yavo Val Yarek, he should sin, he shouldn't get killed. But let's say he's in a cell where there are 15 Jews, and the non-Jew comes to him and says, you light my lighter on Shabbos. And he says, do you want me to light your cigarette? He says, no, I just want you to light the lighter on Shabbos. Now it's public, there are 10 other Jews there, and his whole purpose is to get him to perform a sin. Now this isn't one of the three sins, this is a different sin. The halacha says, Ya'reg ve'al yavo. Then he has to give up his life rather than sin. And this is the main words that the Gemara says in this topic. When Rav Dime came from Israel to Babylon, so he quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan. We know Rav Yochanan was the great sage of the Jerusalem Talmud, the great rabbi of Israel. So when Rav Dime came to Babylon, he quoted the following in the name of Rav Yochanan. Lo shanu ela bishat hashmad. Our tradition is this is only true in the time of Shmad. Ela shelo bishat Shmad, I'm sorry. This is only true that one doesn't have to give up one's life for the smallest mitzvah in private when it's not the time of Shmad. Aval bishat Shmad, but if it's a time of Shmad that they're trying to get us to renege on Judaism, Yareg val yavo, one has to give up one's life rather than transgressing. Kiata Ravin, when Ravin came from Israel to Babylon, Amar Rav Yochanan, he quoted in the name Rav Yochanan, Afilu shelo bishat Shmad, Lo amru ela betzina. Even at a time where there's no shmad, they're not trying to get us to renege on Judaism. Our sages only said that we could transgress in private. Aval befaresia, but in public, afilu mitzvah kala midrabanan. Even a rabbinic mitzvah, even a light rabbinic mitzvah. They come and they tell you, what would be a light rabbinic mitzvah? They tell you, pick up a pen on Shabbos. So that's rabbinic. It's not biblical to pick up to hold a pen on Shabbos. V'chach amru, and this is what they said, my mitzvah kala midrabanan v'chulu. So the Gemara asks, what is the light mitzvah midrabanan, etc. V'omnam farhesia retzunam lomach asra miyisrael. When they said publicly, our sages meant there have to be 10 Jews present. V'chach amru zal, and so our sages taught us, en farhesia pchuta me'asra v'chulan miyisrael. Publicly means that there have to be 10, and all 10 have to be Jews. Then one has to give up one's life rather than transgressing. If the purpose of the sin, again, is not for the guy's own joy. If he's telling me, light my cigarette, so then he wants to enjoy it, so then that's a different story. Then even though it's public, one could sin. Yeah?
Okay. What word are you trying to say? Shmad?
Shmad, yeah.
How do you spell it?
Shin Mem Dalet.
It's in the book.
Okay. Another question. Sorry, Ben. Now, what you just said the last part, you have to
Anytime.
It's derisive.
What?
And that has to be derisive.
No.
So when does derisive and derivative come in?
We said if it's farhesia, if it's publicly, then even a drabanan, even a light mitzvah, if it's public, so then even though it's not a shmad, but he's not doing it for his own benefit, he's just doing it to show I got a Jew to sin, so then he has to rather give up his life. They brought Rabbi Meir in public and they said, now you eat pig. So Rabbi Meir said, no, you can't eat pig. So they said, make believe you're eating pig. We'll give you kosher meat. And you make believe you're, and everyone will think it's pig. We'll declare it's pig. You'll eat it. Said, no, can't do that. What's their whole purpose? That really, if it were just an issue that they want, if they would tell Rabbi Meir, light my cigarette for me, so then he's enjoying, he's doing it for his enjoyment. If they would tell him privately, eat pig, so even though their whole purpose is to get him to sin, so then fine. But if it's public, or it's a shas hashmad, we say either if it's public, then even if it's a small mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah drabanan, or if it's a time of shmad, then even if it's private, the fact that he's just doing it to get me to sin, our sages said, no, we cannot do that. We have to give up our lives. You guys have koch to continue, or we pause here?
Yes,
koch.
Yeah.
Okay. Hamina sheni. The second point, bigvul chilul Hashem onsho. Explaining the boundaries of the concept of chilul Hashem and its punishment. Chilul Hashem mitchalek b'shnei chalakim, klali uprati. When we discuss chilul Hashem, the desecration of God's name, it's divided into two sections, the communal one and the private one. V'klali yichalek b'shnei chalakim. And when we discuss the more encompassing one, the communal one, that too is divided into two sections. Ha'echad me'em u'shi'aseh, the first section is, shi'aseh echad me'mnei adam averad achis. Let's say a person does a sin, just to anger God, so to speak. He wakes up in the morning and says, God, look, puts in some, cooks himself some broth, he cooks some meat, pours in some milk, takes a spoon, eats it, and says, you see, God? So he just did it, so to speak, to anger God. He doesn't like his broth with milk. It's not because he enjoys it. But rather, he says, what? Does it matter if I perform mitzvot or not? I don't care. That person already desecrated God's name. And that's what God says. Don't take vows in my name falsely. That's a desecration of God's name. I am God. That is one of the Ten Commandments. So a person stands in his own home and he says, I swear by God's name, this table is made of gold. Does anyone see that the table is not made of gold? Does anyone see that he said it? He wants to desecrate God's name. He makes fun. It doesn't matter to him. The concept of swearing falsely in God's name, that's an example of chilul Hashem. V'zeh ma'aseh, en shum ta'anug v'anah nimtzeim bo. And in this action, really, there's no pleasure. You don't enjoy anything when you take a false vow. L'fichach im pa'al zeh ha'po'al b'seter. Therefore, if a person did this action privately, hinei chilul Hashem yitale b'seter. So then, we're on page Memchet. We just turned the page. He's desecrated God's elevated name in private. And if he did this publicly, so then he's desecrated God's name publicly. We've already explained that whenever we mention publicly, what we mean is Asaram Yisrael, that there are 10 Jews present. Vasheni, the second aspect of Chilul Hashem that's more communal, sheyakel adam atzmo velo yitaken pulotav gashmiot. That a person takes himself lightly, takes his actions lightly, and he doesn't fix his physical actions. Till the masses start speaking badly about him. He didn't do any specific sin. But the guy walks around and he stinks, he hasn't showered, he doesn't dress nicely, he's immodest. He does things that you can't say there's a specific sin. Nonetheless, because everyone speaks badly about him, he's already desecrated God's name. Because what's right is that a person should watch himself among mankind just as he's careful between himself and his creator. You can't do things that people will look at you and think, oh, he's doing things improperly. כמו שאמרו as our sage, כמו שאמר as the verse says, ויתם נקיים מהשם ומישראל. God says, I want you to be clean before me and before your fellow man. It's not enough that before me you're clean. You have to be clean with your fellow man. וכך אמרו ביומה, and so our sages taught us in the Gemara in Yoma, Rav Nachman ב'יצחק said, כגון דאמרי אין שישר אלי מרי לפלניה. For example, if people say about this person, may his creator forgive him. Poor guy. And our sages said, furthermore, for example, that his friends are embarrassed by his reputation. There are people you don't want to be caught with. There are people you just don't want to be seen around with. We all know people like that. People who walk around the street and speak loudly and do things that are shameful. I could give many examples of that, but I think everyone knows what we're talking about, right? So there's no point. Okay. V'aprati. So then these were more communal aspects of Chilul Hashem. V'aprati yechalek lishnei chalakim. And when we discuss the more private things that don't involve every person, they don't apply to the whole community, to every individual, but rather to specific people, that's also divided into two sections. Ha'echad, the first section, she'aseh ish chacham ma'aseh shu mutar l'chol b'nei adam. That you have a person who's a chacham, he's one of the wise people of the congregation, and he does something which is really permitted for everyone else, ela she'ish kamo'u, but that a person like him, en ro'i la'asot kema'aseh. It's not fitting for him to do something like that. Mimnei shu'u ish yadua b'ma'aseh ha'chasidut, he's a person that's known in acts of kindness, v'umbukash mimenu yoter mezulato. And we expect of him more than of other people. V'zeh kvar chilel t'Hashem, he already desecrated God's name. V'zeh ma'amar Rav b'gvul chilul Hashem. And this is what Rav said with regards to explaining to us the parameters of chilul Hashem. He said, kigon anaf, for example, if I, the shakil nabisra, if I buy meat, v'lo yahiv nadmei la'altar, and I don't pay right away. So I come to the butcher, and I take the meat. Other people could say, you know, I'll pay you tomorrow. You buy the makolet. There's nothing wrong if you tell the owner of the makolet, I'll pay you tomorrow. But Rav says, if I take it and I don't pay right away, kloma, what does it mean? Adam kamo, a person of his stature, lo ariyacha ui sheikach adavar at sheiten adamim, techef shulokech. A person like him, it's not right that he takes something unless he pays right away when he's taking it, velo yacher, with no delay. Even though this is permissible for everyone else. So, you know, I once thought this was only Rav. I once thought, you know, okay, I'm not Rav. So if I go to the store and I have a card by the makolet, there's nothing wrong with it. So I kept thinking, is it right? Is it wrong? And then one time I was running out of the house. I left my wallet at home. I come to the makolet. It's Friday morning and I want to bring Rogaloch for the guys. So I tell the guy at the makolet, you know what? We have a card for Machon Meir. Why don't we put it on the card and I'll pay you Bezalat Hashem next week. So we always have a card for Machon Meir at the makolet because this is the way that the Machon Meir can get an official receipt that the institution needs. So the guy tells me, you know, we switched months 2 weeks ago already and I need you to pay me. So he didn't mean anything bad when he said it, but here I am standing online. I'm on my way to give shir. I'm wearing my hand jacket, and everyone over there sees. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my wallet on me that morning, so I said, you know what? I'm sorry. Today I left my wallet at home. 1 second. I'm going to run home. I'll bring my wallet. I'll pay you right away. So that taught me a lesson, that even nowadays you think, what's wrong? If you owe the guy at the makolet, everyone has a card at the makolet. But no, sometimes the guy at the makolet is going to say, you know, you haven't paid me. It's already 2 weeks. He never asked me. I didn't walk in there in the last 2 weeks. So had I known, I would have paid him. But it caused everyone else online to think, you see, he's not really paying. So that's what Rav was talking about. When a person like Rav would just take the meat and not pay right away, people thought, I wonder if he'll ever pay. What do you mean, everyone else is taking without paying? Yeah, but when you look at certain people, you expect certain behavior. So that's what Rav on his level. Uchmochen ma'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and so too Rabbi Yochanan said, Kigonana, for example, I, Rabbi Yochanan said, Dazin nadal damot b'lo Torah v'lo tefillin. If I walk 4 footsteps without talking Torah and without donning my tefillin, people think, something must be terribly wrong with Rabbi Yochanan. They're used to seeing Rabbi Yochanan with his tefillin, always talking Torah. So if Rabbi Yochanan had stomach trouble and he couldn't wear his tefillin, he didn't leave his house that day because he couldn't be seen without his tefillin. For him to be seen without his tefillin would be a Chilul Hashem. Inyan ze, what this the concept is, she'adam kamohu lo haya ra'uy lo she'yaseh ze, that a person like him, it wasn't fitting for him to do this. Uvechol ha'talmud ne'emar, and throughout the Talmud we have the concept, adam chashuv shane, a person who's of an important stature, he's different, we expect different things of him, and he has to be more stringent. So that's the first aspect of Chilul Hashem, which is specific for specific people. So a person of a certain stature has to behave a certain way. And guys, I have to tell you that nowadays, my humble opinion is that every guy that's learning in yeshiva has the stature of a rabbi in this respect. People look at you, and when you come back to your communities, you're the rabbi. You know how many times I get phone calls with shaylos questions that require the gadol hador, that really they're questions of life and death, and those are questions that Rav Yashiv has to answer. I can't answer. But you know what? In people's eyes, there's no difference. They don't know the difference. From their perspective, you're a rabbi, so what's the difference? Yeah, you should be able to answer me questions of life and death. Well, you guys are the same way. You guys come back to your communities, and even when you walk out in the street over here, people see you. They see you with tzitzis. They see you with a yarmulke. So in their eyes, you're a rabbi. Very often, I'm on the bus, and people come to me with shaylos. I go to the supermarket, people come to me with shaylos. So I don't always know the answer off the cuff. Sometimes I say, I'll verify, I'll get back to you. Give me your name, give me your number, and I go home, and I verify. If I could verify, good. If not, I call my rabbi, and then I call them back, and I give them the answer. But this behavior that the Rambam's saying, that we have to behave because people look at us a specific way, well, that doesn't apply only to Rav and Rav Yochanan. In certain respects, it applies to every person that's wearing a yarmulke, and certainly every one of us that's gone to yeshiva, when we come back to the community, they look at you and they say, you learned in yeshiva. So they expect certain things of you. When I go to my parents' hometown, so over there, everyone knows I'm the guy that went to yeshiva, so I don't leave the house without a tie on. Here in Israel, I don't have that problem, Baruch Hashem. Mm-hmm. But in America, in that community, so they knew me. I gave shiurim there. So in America, you're not a rabbi if you don't wear a tie. So in their mind, I'm a rabbi, so I have to wear a tie. So I wouldn't leave the house without a tie. Here in Israel, Baruch Hashem, doesn't work that way. But you have to think. You guys have to think. You're going to be in communities. And this responsibility of Chilul Hashem is a hefty one. V'achelek ha'sheni, in the second section, she'yeh adam chacham mitnegim ne adam, that you have a chacham, a wise person, that he treats people, hanaga pechuta uche'ura, he treats them in a fashion that is lacking, a fashion that is despicable, in his purchasing, in his sales, and in his business dealings with them. So you come to a guy and you want to buy a mezuzah from him, and he doesn't tell you it's a printed mezuzah. So you can find a certain opinion halachic that says printed mezuzahs are kosher, but we know that today the accepted halachic opinion is that a printed mezuzah is not kosher. You don't plan on spending 150 shekel on a printed mezuzah. You walk in and the guy has a beard and he's wearing a yarmulke. You don't expect him to be cheating you. You walk into a store and a guy yells at you, what do you want? What do you mean, what do I want? Just walked in. The guy is sitting there and he's got a beard and he's got face and he's got a yarmulke. You don't expect such behavior. So did he do any specific sin? No. But the way he's behaving is a way that's a Chilul Hashem. And he doesn't mingle with people. People don't feel like that he's one of them. Yeah.
But aren't there specific sins involved, like embarrassing a fellow Jew and things like that? Or just being really kind?
We have a mitzvah to be kind. We have a midat chasidut to welcome every person with a warm countenance.
Yeah.
But you can't say if you walk into my house and I say, yeah, what do you want? Can't say I did a specific sin. What did I do? You walked into my store. I don't have to welcome you warmly. It's not a specific sin. I didn't get the mitzvah of making you feel welcome and feel warm, but I didn't do a specific sin. It's a behavior. It's a general behavior that's derogatory, and this behavior, the Rambam will explain, is a Chilul Hashem, and Chilul Hashem is one of the greatest sins that a person can perform.
And I think it's a great sin because it's not love for your neighbor. He hates his neighbor.
There's
no love. We should love.
I think there's a Maharal that explains the way you're saying. The Maharal says that Shammai, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Maharal. Shammai was always din. Shammai always says you have to go with the letter of the law. And in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Shammai says, accept a person with a warm countenance. So how do these two go hand in hand? Shammai was so strict, and yet where he says you have to accept people with a warm countenance. So I think the Maharal says, because if you walk up to someone and he doesn't greet you warmly, what's the first thought you think? You think, oh, he doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
So the letter of the law says, Shammai, ve've mekabel, ve've makbil, you have to reflect to the other person that you want them to walk before you. So that's why Shammai is the one that teaches us. You have to reflect him. I want you here. So you always greet him warmly. Rabbi Feinstein, so that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein, when a person would come to him and ask him a shayla, see, even though he was always learning, he was always busy learning, the second he'd recognize that someone was a distance, that they were might be coming to ask him something, he'd pick up his head to try and answer your question. And the second you finished asking your question and he finished answering you, his head was back in the book, he didn't look at you again. So someone once asked, why does he do this? So I don't know if he answered or his son answered, that when you're coming to ask a question, he's concerned, maybe you don't know that he wants you to come. So he'll give you the attention from the minute he recognizes you a few feet away, even though it means stopping from his learning an extra few seconds. But once you've finished asking the question and he's finished answering you, so you finish the conversation. Now he doesn't have time to waste. Now he has to get back to his learning. So that's this concept. Okay, so back to the second aspect of Achil Hashem, which applies to a specific person, a person of higher stature. That's a person who doesn't behave properly with people. He doesn't behave with people with traits that are precious and honest and fair. Behold, this person has already desecrated God's name. And so our sages taught us. In a time when a person learns, and he learns Mishnah and Torah, and his business practices are not trustworthy, he promises you, yeah, I won't sell it, I'll wait for you to come back. You come back and he says, yeah, I'm sorry, someone came and he offered me a better price. You tell him, but you promised me, I came all the way here to pick up the picture. And he says, yeah, did we sign a contract? Did we make a deal? Did we shake hands on it? Halachically, technically, did I really, really obligate myself? No. So you'll say, yeah, but you weren't faithful to me. So that's a no nosem noten be'emuna. He's not faithful in his business practices. So this person learned, but he's not faithful in his business practices. Ve'en dibuo benachat im abuyot. And he doesn't speak calmly with people. What do people say about this person? Woe to those who bore him. Woe to those that brought him to the world. And the Rambam says, if I weren't scared of being too lengthy and missing the point, going off on a tangent, I would explain over here, says the Rambam, if not for the fact that I can't go off topic, I would spend time now explaining how a wise person should behave with people, and what's fitting, how he should behave with, and how he should speak to all mankind, till it reaches a point that whoever talks to him or has anything to do with him will praise him. And I'd be happy to explain also what is this concept of Nosev Noten Be'emunah, that he does business trustfully. And what does it mean that he speaks calmly with people? But says the Rambam, lo yespik bazeh lachibur gadol. For this, I have to compose a huge work just to discuss this concept. And I have to get back to the point. So the Rambam says, I cannot expand. Really, there's a lot to discuss. But I can't. That would require its own work. V'kiddush Hashem. Now says the Rambam. And what is Kiddush Hashem? Why is all of this important? We know why all of this is important. Because the question is, should these guys be giving up their lives rather than declaring that Muhammad is a prophet? Rather than declaring that they accept Islam? And is that called Kiddush Hashem? And is their action of declaring we do accept Muhammad under duress, is that a Chilul Hashem? So that's where the Rambam's headed. So first, he's defining for us what is the concept of Chilul Hashem, and now what is the concept of Kiddush Hashem. The first thing that he defined was, for what does one have to give up one's life? The Rambam is building up. Where is he building up? To the question, what should these people really do? Once you understand what does a Jew have to give up his life for, so you'll understand, should these Jews be giving up their lives rather than making this declaration? And what is the concept of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem? What should they be doing publicly now? V'kiddush Hashem, says the Rambam, hu hefech Chilul Hashem. The concept of sanctifying God's name is the exact opposite of the concept of desecrating God's name. Vizeh, and this concept is, she'adam k'shiyase mitzvah min ha-mitzvot, that when a person does a mitzvah of one of the mitzvos, ve'lo ya'arev im ha-kavana min ha-kavanot, ela mitzvat Hashem ve'avodato levad, and he doesn't mix in any intent other than the concept that he is doing a mitzvah and serving God. Hineyu kidesh Hashem. Behold, he has sanctified God's name. V'im asah bekahal, and if he does it publicly, kidesh Hashem berabim. He has sanctified God's name publicly. Uchmochen, and so too, im nishmu mimenu shmot tovot. So think about it. When Begin went to New York, so they offered him a ride. They said, security-wise, they'll help him, they'll give him a ride. So Begin said, no, I'm walking to shul, it's Shabbos. We'll figure out a way of protecting me, I'm walking to shul. That was a Kiddush Hashem. When could be, I don't know. When Lieberman said he's keeping Shabbos, they wanted him to go on the ferry down the Mississippi, and he was a candidate for vice president. And Joe Lieberman said, no, I'm a Jew, I'm a Sabbath observer, I can't travel down the Mississippi on Shabbos. So they said, maybe we'll figure out ways with stops and something. He said, no, so I won't go on that ferry. So it made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem all over the world. They heard, oh, here's a Jew, he seems to have everything to lose and nothing to gain. The only thing he's gaining is he's performing the mitzvah of Hashem. Hashem told us on Shabbos, we don't go traveling, and he performed the mitzvah, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Why is that a Kiddush Hashem? Because people look at it and say, ah, what's important to him? God. That's what's important to him, more than being vice president. So he won't have this public affair. He won't be going down the Mississippi. What's important to him is that God said you keep the Shabbos. So that's why we look at these things, we say that's a Kiddush Hashem. Because in these situations, when a person's in the spotlight, so it's a public Kiddush Hashem. But the idea is, he's shown that the most important thing is God's name. So he's sanctifying God's name, that's Kiddush Hashem. V'im asah b'kahal, and if he does it publicly, Kiddush Hashem b'rabim, he sanctified God's name publicly. Uchmochen, and so too, im nishmu mimenu shmuot tovot. When people speak positively about a person, kidesh et Hashem, he sanctified God's name. V'chen, and so too, im hitnaheg chacham minag yafeh. If the wise man behaved properly, nicely with people, hine kidesh et Hashem, behold, he sanctified God's name. Kmo shamru, our sages said, v'zman she'adam, when a person does learn Torah and does behave properly, and people praise him and people admire him, ad vayom ali avdi ata Yisrael asher b'cha etpa'a, till the end of the Gemara, where the Gemara over there says God declares, you are my servant, you are my Jewish people, who I am glorified through you. And every person is supposed to strive to be a vessel for the glorification of God's name. That's what we're supposed to strive for. Uchmochen adam gadol, and so too a great person, k'sheishmatzmo minyanim mechoharim mitzav bnei adam, when he holds himself back from things that people find disgusting, v'aval b'sheinam be'inav mechoharim, even though in his eyes they're not disgusting, but in people's eyes they're disgusting, v'adai ze kidesh tashem, certainly he has sanctified God's name, sh'nem, as the verse says, ulzut sfatayim hachek mimeka, distance from yourself the crooked lips, so to speak, people speaking foully about you. So every person should try to avoid people speaking foully about you. That's why the halacha says, one should try to daven in a shul. Let's say you didn't make minyan, you should still try to daven in a shul. Let's say you're going to walk to shul at 10:30 in the morning carrying your tefillin, and everyone sees, there's the yeshiva guy, he's waking up late, he's walking with his tefillin at 10:30 in the morning. So that's not nice. So you say, but there's no Aveira. You say, yeah, but it's a desecration of God's name. That's what people say. Let's say you go daven Vasikin. You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you go to shul and you're davening early. And then you sit there and you learn another 6 hours. And then at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, after you've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning, you want to go home and eat something. So you take your tefillin and you start walking home. But everyone else, they don't know that you've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. What do they see? They see a yeshiva guy who's half asleep by now. and he's walking around carrying his tefillin at 12 o'clock in the morning. So that's not nice. You'll say, but in my eyes, I did nothing wrong. It's not disgusting. I didn't do anything wrong. We say, yes, but what do people say? So you have to put the tefillin in a bag. People shouldn't see that you're carrying your tefillin. It's no one's business. You have to take into account, what are people going to say about you? V'chilul Hashem hu avon gadol, and the desecration of God's name is a great sin. Shogeg yanesh kemizid. If a person does it by mistake, he gets punished just like a person who does it on purpose. Kmo shamru zal, as our sages taught us, echad shogeg ve'echad mezid v'chilul Hashem. When it comes to the desecration of God's name, God says no excuses. He can't say it was a mistake. You get punished equally for a mistake as though it were on purpose. V'chol avonot, and any other sin, yarich Hashem aleim. God is willing to take time over them. He's willing to hold off from punishing a person. Chutz mechilul Hashem, other than the concept of desecrating God's name, she'en marichin lo. That with regard to that, they don't hold off from punishment. V'chach amru, as our sages taught us, in makifin lechilul Hashem, they don't take credit when it comes to chilul Hashem. Mayen makifin, what does it mean they don't take credit? En osin lo kechen mania makif. In heavens, they don't open a card and say, okay, how much do you owe? Well, wait, maybe you'll pay it up. No, they don't wait for punishing. Klomar shitparu mimenu miyad, meaning a sage is meant to say that they punish right away. And anyone who desecrates God's name privately, so God pays him back publicly. Kmo shamru, as our sages taught, whoever desecrates God's name privately, they pay him back publicly. והאבון הזה גדול יותר מכל האבונות. And this sin, says the Rambam, is greater than all other sins. שאין יום הכיפורים ותשובה ויסורים מחפרין. That יום כיפור, תשובה, and the person suffering, they don't wipe out this sin. אלא כולן תולין. But rather, if a person suffers, and a person does תשובה, and a person has יום כיפור, so that holds off the sin, ומיתה מחפרת. And only death can atone for the sin of חילול השם. וכך אמרו זל, and so our sages taught us, כל מי שיש בידו חילול השם, whoever has in his hand the sin of חילול השם, אין כוח בתשובה לתלות, תשובה can't hold off, ולא ביום כיפורים לחפר, and יום כיפור can't atone, ולא ביסורים למרק, nor can any suffering wipe out the sin, אלא כולן תולין, but they all together can hold off the sin, ומיתה ממרקת, and death ultimately is the only thing that can cleanse a person of the sin, assuming that a person did tshuva, went through Yom Kippur, etc. Shneimar, the verse says, "V'nigla v'oznay Hashem tzevakot." God says, "I've heard in my ears, im yechupar avon azeh lachem atemutun. Will I forgive you this sin?" God says, "I won't forgive you till you die." V'chol zeh k'sheyem chalel shem shemayim birtzono. But all of this, says the Rambam, the main point is all of this is when a person willfully desecrates God's name, kmo sheitber, as we've explained. Uchmo shechilul Hashem hu avon gadol, and just as desecrating God's name is a great sin, kach kiddush Hashem mitzvah gdola. So too, corresponding to that, the concept of kiddush Hashem is a great mitzvah. V'gomlin lo tova gdola harbe meod, and they'll pay him back great wages, great good things for the kiddush Hashem that he does. V'chol ish miYisrael chayav b'kiddushat Hashem, and every Jew is responsible to sanctify God's name. Kmo shamru zal b'sifra, as our sages taught us in the Medrash Halacha of Sifra. אני השם מקדישכם ומציא אתכם מארץ מצרים להיות לכם ללוקים אני השם. The verse says, I am Hashem who sanctifies you. I took you out of Egypt to be your God. I am Hashem. God says, על מנת כך הוצאתי אתכם. I took you out for this, שתקדשו את שמי ברבים. On this condition I took you out, that if it push comes to shove, you will sanctify my name publicly. ואמרו בפרק בן צורר ומורה, and our sages taught us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the chapter called בן צורר ומורה, באו מנם רבי ימי, they asked רבי ימי, Ben Noach mitzuver kiddush Hashem or lo? Is a Noachite commanded to sanctify God's name or not? Shma mina Yisrael lo tzarich bayad imtzuveu al kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara says, we understand from the question that a Jew, it's not even a question, he is for sure commanded on about this concept of sanctifying God's name. Tichtiv, as the verse says, v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, I'll be sanctified among the Jewish people. We are all responsible to sanctify God's name. So what did we see in this second section? That when it comes to Chilul Hashem, it's divided. There's Chilul Hashem that applies to the masses, that's communal, it applies to every person. And that is that a person, if a person does a sin just for the sake of sinning, just so to speak, out of spite. So that's one aspect of Chilul Hashem that applies to everyone. If he does it privately, it's Chilul Hashem privately. If he does it publicly, it's a Chilul Hashem publicly. The second concept is that a person behaves in a way that's desecrating, just the way he behaves is desecrating for any individual. He's just behaving in a derogatory way, and people look at him and they say, what a disgraceful person. People are embarrassed to be seen with him. So that's the second type of Chilul Hashem that applies to every Jew. Then we said there's Chilul Hashem that applies only to the Chacham, to the wise man, and that's when he does things that when people look at him, they say that's a desecration of God's name. And we gave an example, Rav, if he wouldn't pay up front, Rav Yochanan, if he'd be seen without tefillin. So that's something which a Chacham has to be extra careful with. And the second thing is that a person who's a Chacham behaves with people in a way that's improper. He yells at them, he does things that cause people to look disgracefully upon him. So those are two examples of Chilul Hashem for a Chacham. And then a Kiddush Hashem, he says, is the exact opposite of Chilul Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is that he does a mitzvah just for the sake of a mitzvah, and if he does it publicly, it's a Kiddush Hashem publicly, and it's one of the greatest mitzvos, and every person is supposed to try and do Kiddush Hashem. If he has a good reputation, that's a Kiddush Hashem. If a Chacham behaves in an exceptionally good way, so that's a Kiddush Hashem. And if a Chacham holds himself back from things that are just improper in the eyes of the people, but really he knows there's nothing wrong with them, nonetheless, the fact that he holds himself back is a Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam concluded by explaining that a Chilul Hashem is a great sin, and it gets punished. There's no excuse saying, oh, I did it by mistake. And the punishment is immediate, and he doesn't get forgiveness till death. And just as Chilul Hashem is a great sin, Kiddush Hashem is a great mitzvah, and every Jew is responsible to perform a Kiddush Hashem. So now that we've explained these concepts, the Rambam is now going to continue, and that's where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next time, about the elevated stature of those who have to give up their lives on the concept for the concept of Kiddush Hashem, and those who get forced in this time of duress of Shmad, what's the din regarding them? And then Bezrat Hashem, I hope that next time we will succeed in really finishing this letter.